глазах пропися. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pined, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Go, ladies and gentlemen, the worst Christmas song ever recorded by anyone anywhere. Thank you to George in Wilsonville for digging that up for us, by the way. Do you see why I was so desperate to find that?
Oh, yes.
Because I had that a couple years ago, and then I lost it. I had no idea where it went. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day and so forth. It is the... here come the phone calls. It is the Rick Emerson Radio. I gotta have something to get the taste out of my mouth. Hold on, let me just. Here we go. Nothing like the sweet, soothing sounds of Tina Yathers to wash that song right out of your brain. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. We'll talk about the terrible films you just can't quit watching. Like is at 3. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11 and so forth. This is the part when she has the fingerless lace glove and she's pointing at the camera. In love again. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All right, there I am.
Hello.
Well, for the hard to please on your Christmas gift list, how about a new set of tires? We're going to be here.
All right.
We have with us Kim Weber of the Rubber Manufacturers Association, who makes the following recommendations.
Winter tires can deliver approximately 25%
dynamo
traction than the all-season tires, and the difference could be a margin needed to stop safely.
Kim, would you recommend studded tires or non-studded winter tires?
Winter tires you can use pretty much the whole season, and you don't have to worry about when the studded rules go into effect each season.
Do you have any tips for the tire user?
Keeping your tires properly inflated will give you better traction on the road, and it's going to maximize your grip on the wet roads, whether it be snow or rain.
No one cares. No one cares. And by the way, if you're living in Portland, let me just do a little bit of advice from me to you. You don't need studded tires. Quit using them.
Unless you're Scott Daly. He travels all over the state. He gets stranded in mountain tops and things like that.
He's missing for days.
He had
to consume the buttocks of his traveling companions.
Closer to God only.
No, but he lives in St. Helens, and he has to drive all around. I'm talking about these jackhole Portlanders, and I can say that because I live among you. I walk among you. I am one of you. It's not as bad as when I used to live on a hill. When I used to live over in John's Landing, like on Whitaker Street, there's a big-ass hill right there. And our bedroom window was facing this hill. And every winter, it would be March, and guys with their studded tires grinding the way up. You don't need studded tires. You don't. If you live in Portland, if you don't drive anywhere outside of Portland, unless you're going up.
But
in
if you live in the West Hills where Bruce lives.
If you no, especially not there. Don't you just in the West Hills
up there?
The city install special weather controlling machines up there to make sure that it's always 75 degrees and balmy?
No, that's where the reporters go up to look for the first flake of snow.
Where they point at the ground.
As you can see,
regular programming.
As there are snow on the ground right now.
I'm just saying, if you live in Portland, you don't. Even if you live where it snows in Portland, you don't need studded tires. How about you just learn to goddamn drive instead, huh?
Huh? Well, all right, they will.
So take that, Miss Tire Lady.
Well, what's going on in Kazakhstan today, you ask? Well, a leading writer there has nominated actor Sacha Baron Cohen for a national award for popularizing Kazakhstan. Novelist Sebibik Azukugu called on the Kazba Club of Art Patrons to give Cohen the annual award, which is the sacred tree stump. His fictional character, Barat, has managed to spark an immense interest in the whole world of Kazakhstan.
Sure,
I
can't wait to go.
Something our authorities could not do during the years of independence. Let's see here. If state officials completely lack a sense of humor, their country becomes a laughingstock, said the awards.
And these are art awards in Kazakhstan?
Yes, the Kazakh Club of Art Patrons.
It's like a Toastmasters club.
Established 2005.
it's like a Rotary Club, but nobody can afford a chair.
He wants it to be known that the Russian colonialism of Kazakhstan and the Stalin purges decimated their political and cultural elite.
Well, okay, and it's known. Thank you for passing that
along. And people
are
starting to come back and doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. let's see. Let me get a couple of these. Laird, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, I just want to encourage you to play that version of All Holy Night every day.
Hold on just one second.
I don't know.
It's beautiful.
Here's where it really picks up, right? He kicks it up into a higher gear. Wait for it.
Epic.
Can you imagine that coming out of the public address system at Target?
Oh, that's like some full-on Project Mayhem.
I dare somebody to do that. No, I should.
Christian, you're going to be pulling a shift on Couple later, aren't you? You know what the Couple audience would love to hear?
Oh. No, that would be so much fun.
The biggest hits, the biggest stars, 98.7 Couple.
You could just say it's part of Charlie Daniels' Christmas.
Nobody will know the difference.
In the new Shania Twain album.
The Dixie Chicks.
How satisfying would it be to go to a Best Buy and just pipe? Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go. Here's how you can do it.
I dare you to do it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's all I would need is like.
How do we do it?
I'll tell you exactly how.
It's gonna be an inside job.
I had a code to the intercom of Fred Meyers at one point,
no,
but they changed it.
Really? Oh, yes. See, because I... Here's the thing I used to do. Here's... Laird?
Yes, sir.
Hello there. Just hang on a second. Here's the thing I used to do. My friend Todd and I used to do this because we were real... I'm not trying to be like I'm some big like social fighter for justice or whatever, but like when stuff was clearly just not being done correctly, we had no problems about just stepping in and doing it ourselves. For example, we used to live, I've told this story before, we used to live in Salt Lake City. And Salt Lake City is a bad place. It's a terrible place. But they have this thing, and they do this here, by the way, where they're going to do construction on maybe 100 yards of road. But what they'll do is they'll block off 9 miles of road with orange cone. Like, no, for no reason.
Yeah, that happens on the pass trying to get in here on the 26th. They do it every weekend.
Yeah, and they're only going to work on 100 yards of road, but they close off the lane, you know, the lane in, like, both directions.
And
like
there were two guys leaning on a broom.
Yeah, and so we had no problem. We would just, like, we would just go there early in the morning or late at night, and we would just step our car, and we would just rearrange the cones.
Good for you.
So we would only cone off the section of area where they were going to be doing construction, and we would just move the other cones to the shoulder of the road. I had no problem. Like, you think about it now, and we really were just really playing with fire because they could have just come and arrested us and stuck us in jail. But we were just like young and didn't care. And so we would just go and we would rearrange the traffic cones to the way they ought to have been. Same thing. I would go to Fred Meyer. And if I couldn't get customer service, I would just go and I would pick up that phone and I would, and I knew the intercom code. And I would just get on the, and I'd be, there is an appalling lack of customer service right now in the sporting goods section. I am trying to spend money. Come wait on me.
See, I'm not that well behaved.
So what do you say? What do you do?
Oh, my friend is one of the most obnoxious people on the planet.
Fantastic.
So he has about 5 or 6 characters that he does in prank phone calls on a regular basis, and yeah.
The prank phone call really is a great American art.
Yes.
Is he more obnoxious than this guy?
At times.
Okay. Well, here's what we could do. You see, if I had like a little mini player or like a little pocket MP3 player or something, all you would need to do is know how to access, to pick up that phone in the customer service plate and access the intercom. And then you would just be like, you know, attention, you know, attention Fred Meyer shoppers. Season's greetings from Fred Meyer.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. If that happens later on today, I don't know anything about it.
Their ad agency isn't listening about now.
So there you go, Laird. We'll try to get that. We'll try to do that.
It's
going to
be done.
One more thing, real quick.
Yes.
Do you know the name of that guy? I want to look him up.
I don't, and here's the thing. It's not like I'm trying to keep it secret or something, although I will say that this is the only radio, although that'll now change, this is the only radio program I've ever heard play this song. I'm not saying we're the only ones who've done it, but I'm saying that's why it was so, I was telling Christian, that's why I was so bummed out when I lost it, because it's one of the only great, terrible Christmas songs that just doesn't get beaten to death by every moron DJ, you know, with a microphone.
It's absolutely terrific.
Everybody thinks it's Adam Sandler, but it's not. I mean, I can tell that it's not Adam Sandler. I don't know who it is, though.
Okay, no. Well, if you find out, post it on your website. And come see International Mail next Saturday.
Okay. And International Mail is what?
It's a dirty disco band playing at Jimmy Max.
Oh, I thought it was like some sort of a burlesque show, perhaps.
Or a convention for
there's
postman.
A little of that.
All right, thank you, Laird.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. All right, it's Tim Riley.
I don't know where to go after that. Well, a Corona Del Mar man has been arrested on suspicion of injuring another man during a fight that involved a golf cart and a sword.
Fantastic.
The two men were fighting over a woman. They didn't release the name of the 21-year-old suspect because investigators are still trying to determine who started the fight.
Here's the thing. Getting
somebody with money from Orange County.
You will never be able to get a woman back by fighting over her with a golf club and a sword. Because it either paints you as being boring or a guy from a Ren Fair. And neither one of those things will impress females.
The police are determining if the man arrested for using both the golf club and the sword as weapons. Or if both men used weapons in the scuffle. This happened at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You know what I don't understand is where all of these swords are coming from. Does it seem like we never used to have so many stories about guys attacking other people with swords, and now they're everywhere. Every third story we have about a maiming, it's some guy with a samurai sword.
Oh, that is true, isn't
it? We have an advertiser who sells those, though, don't we? Don't we have some sort of for all your sword needs? Like a, don't
I heard
we,
it.
We have like a, you know, Sword City, one of those places.
Mice.
All right. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Noel Gallagher believes Robbie Williams will commit suicide one day and is offered to give him a loaded gun to use.
good times.
The outspoken Oasis guitarist, who has been feuding with the Angel singer for years, insists it's just a matter of time before his rival takes his own life because he's a grossly unhappy person. In the interview with Oasis, conducted by Britain's The Sun newspaper, Noel was asked who he would aim at if he had a gun with one bullet in it, Phil Collins, who he has reportedly mocked, or Robbie. The rocker says, I don't give a boop about Phil Collins. I wouldn't shoot him. I do think he's a bit of a... It begins with a K and ends with a B.
A keeb.
A kebab.
a crab. He's an imitation crab.
As for Robbie, I'd put the bullet in the gun, as he's eventually going to do it himself, as he is a grossly unhappy person.
I don't understand. The word has a K and a B, and then the rest is bleeped out?
Yeah.
He's a...
We're all trying to think of what this could be.
He's a...
Something British that...
He's a... Did you say kebab?
That's what I thought.
Kim Kum.
But that's not really a
Kraub.
I don't know.
I've got nothing.
Yeah, I've...
Well, Noel and his brother, Lamb, have been feuding over him since 2000 after Noel labeled him the fat dancer from Take That.
Excellent. Good times. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Fantastic. He'll be back at the bottom of the hour. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com.
This guy has the longest singing
career. Wow. Scott Daly, how are you doing, sir? Best moment of this song, I'm so glad that George found this for me. God bless you, George. Is when he really, like, you can sense him sort of like taking a breath and like getting ready to ratchet it up. Like, let's listen to this one more time here.
I don't know.
Right here.
Oh, 99.
You can sense him like sort of getting his momentum. Wait here. Here we go.
Right there.
What?
What song is this?
Oh, Holy Night.
Wow.
And then one more. He lifts it one more level here. Right here. Just when you think he's peaked. Oh, good times. I love the holidays. I really do. The holidays are just a fantastic time to be everybody. How you doing, brother? What's up in your world?
Well, I was playing... You were talking about board games earlier today, and I was playing Pokemon Monopoly with my son this morning.
What an exciting life it is of being a parent.
Fun,
I can't wait to have kids of my own.
He totally dug it. He did. We were having fun.
How old is he?
4.
Well, that's his excuse. What are you...
We were interacting.
Yeah, okay. A board game, really?
It's teaching him to count. It teaches him the value of money.
Using cute little Japanese characters.
That's right.
All right.
You know, I was Charmander and he was Pikachu.
What do you buy a 4-year-old for Christmas?
Oh man, he wants the Star Wars Transformers. He wants everything Power Rangers. He loves Digimon. He loves Pokemon. Easiest thing in the world to buy for
Christmas. Does it seem like toys haven't really changed in about 12 years? I was just talking about that Tickle Me Elmo thing. Pokemon, really? I thought the kids were done with Pokemon.
No, man, he loves Pokemon.
And Power Rangers, too. I thought that we'd moved on from that as a society.
Nope, it's Power Rangers on like every hour, like on the Disney Channel or something, and he just...
God, your life must just suck beyond belief. I mean, really?
Fun.
I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying, like... I'm not trying to be a jerk. I know it sounds that way, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Do you feel, I mean, I have this female friend of mine who has kids, and she said that she could not remember the last time that her house did not smell of graham crackers and apple juice. And that's what I mean,
It's really about all how you handle it.
Can I tell you a true story?
Yeah,
here's
please.
A true story.
Right.
And I won't use this person's name. I don't think anybody would ever know. It's no one associated with this program.
All right.
It is someone that my wife knows. And we had gone out to set a birthday dinner for my wife sort of a while back. And we had gone, and it was some co-workers of hers. And I've talked before about how I know a lot of people, and you are not one of these people, to be fair. But I know a lot of people who have kids, and they make a lot of really dark jokes about their children. Things that really, strictly speaking, are a little off-putting. Like that one woman I know who's a writer, and she's like, I just want to start a blog about how much you despise my children. And then she does like a little crazy laugh. And I know a lot of people who will say horrible, horrible things about their children, and then they give sort of a nervous titter with, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I just want to put a pillow over their faces. I'm only kidding. But this woman, though, she's a writer, and, you know, she has sort of, not postpartum, but I mean, you know, I guess the depression that just comes from being stuck in a house with a bunch of screaming children 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
And Lara was trying to cheer her up with a whole lot of, like, you know, well, why don't you get back to your writing? You know, you were a writer before, and before is always the implied is like before you had kids.
Right.
And I was like, well, why don't you get back to being a writer? She's like, all I'd want to do is write a blog about how much I despise my children. Just kidding. You know, and then like the weird, creepy eyes. So we're at dinner the other night, and it's, you know, the woman had some free time because her husband had taken the kids to go to visit the grandparents for a couple days or whatever. So she was like at home by herself. And of course, it was just like a matter of time in the conversation before we got down to the, so Lara, are you and Rick going to ever have any children? Which is like the question you always get.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, this is why so many people, I think, have kids. I think it's only to make the question stop. Because you've learned that that's the only way you can make the question. Fine!
And they never believe you when you say no.
That's
don't
the thing.
Want
they
kids.
Always think
like,
that just
how
enough.
You do not want kids. They're so precious.
And they always think that, like, you haven't considered the question before coming up with the answer. Like, they always think that you flipped a coin. No.
I get the, you're going to change your mind.
But just wait till you look into his eyes.
Wait for about 10 years, you'll change your mind.
Before I met the lovely Maxine and before we got married, I never really wanted kids. So I know what it's like to be the guy who's like, not interested. So I'm not the type of person who, now that I have kids.
Yeah, see, to be fair, you don't nag about it. You are not that person. But, and it is, and I hate the stereotype, but it is women who do that. It is women who nag other women.
Mm.
And they won't nag me, like Lara's female friends, they won't nag me. They nag me, like, through her.
Oh. Ooh.
Like, this, and I do think it is like a chick thing. I think it's some weird biological clock kind of thing where they, like, and this is the other thing, is that, like, it'll be me and Lara and, like, a bunch of her friends, and it's always the women who have kids. Like, people who don't have kids never nag other people who don't have kids.
Because it's not an issue.
It's a whole whitewashing the fence kind of a thing. No, it's a lot of fun. Do it. I swear.
You have
no,
to
it's
be
great.
As miserable as me.
So that's exactly what it is. No, but this, they'll do this. Her female friends who have kids, they will speak to her about me as though I'm not there. I don't know. Like, they'll look right at her talking about, I'm 5 inches away. So, that husband of yours, why doesn't he want to have kids? Hello? I'm over here.
Husband.
Looking right past me. But anyway, so we're at dinner with this woman. And the woman, she has some free time because the kids are out of town with the husband for a while or whatever. And she's been given love. So, are you ever going to have kids? And Lara's like, no, you know, we made that decision, you know, a long time ago. And, you know, we're just not going to have children. And the woman goes, they'll ruin your whole life. Just kidding. That was her immediate, like, response. Like, she didn't miss a beat. It was immediate, like, they'll ruin your whole life. You know, and then, like, the weird, crazy laugh afterward.
They'll ruin your life.
On her 15th glass of Zinfandel.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to rule with an iron fist.
Exactly. Well, see, the thing is, kids, and I'm not preaching, but they're great. I mean, we love both of our kids. They're amazing. They're bundles of joy. But it's nice when we can get away from the kids, have my parents or someone take the kids for the night and go out for the weekend.
Right.
And we have no kids! You know, that's fun. But the time, like this morning, playing, you know, Monopoly with my son, or play Nintendo or Xbox or something, or just color or draw. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
I will say, but
I'm not going to push it on people. I hate doing that.
I will say that I enjoy not even so much a interaction with other people's kids, but just maybe little tiny limited windows.
Yeah.
I just like being around other people's kids just long enough that I can give them, that I can fill their head with subversive ideas. like Joni's kid, Sydney, who all things considered is pretty great, but she has that bigger than Jesus shirt, and I think she has been forbidden to wear it to school.
Nice.
Because it has devil horns and it says bigger than Jesus and whatever and da da da. And I think, Joan, I hope you're not listening, but I do remember at one point, like, pulling Sydney, said, like, wear another shirt over it, and then just like, when you get to school, you take it, and then refuse to take it, threaten to call lawyers. I remember teaching her the phrase ACLU, and be like, because she was like 7 or something, and I'm like, wear your bigger than Jesus shirt, and then when, you know, take it, when nobody's looking, toward it, and if they tell you to take it off, threaten to sue them. And then, like, it gave me like a little warm smile that she was going off into the world armed with that knowledge. It was like sending off a little, ticking time bomb into the world, you know, just that later when I, and later, and I was going to be completely removed from the consequences, that she would be off in school causing trouble for the authorities. It made me kind of happy.
So in about 4 years, I'll be sure not to have Cooper go visit Uncle Rick.
Oh, yeah. Don't send your kids to me, because I'm just going to tell them to all make all kinds of trouble.
My 10-year-old brother will do anything for $20, and then...
Fantastic.
Oh, that's That's great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Although I'm in trouble for trying to get him to dye his hair blue right
You're
now.
You're in hot for
that's great. No, see, I love that, man. I love that. And because the thing is that kids have a natural... This is the great thing about kids. I don't mean to sound like I'm down on children all the time, but I think kids have... I think the reason that I don't get along with kids and the reason they don't get along with me is because we are so similar. Because I am just so relentlessly, I live in a state of retarded adolescence and perpetual, you know, juvenilia. That's like my whole thing. And, you know, whatever. And so I think that's why, and kids have a natural distrust of and hatred for authority that gets beaten out of you as you get older. As you get older, the man just sort of pummels your free will.
Right.
And you become like, a Cool Hand Luke. You become like Lucas Jackson at the end of the movie. Just, don't hit me, boss! You know, and totally, you just become all, but kids, early on, until they get to be about, you know, until they reach into, because kids are really, they're just little chaos factors until they become about 10 or 11, I think, and then they become behave for a couple of years, and then when they hit the teenagers, they become a-holes again.
Right.
So that's why I bond so well with them, because we share just an inherent distrust and hatred of any and all authority figures.
I've never grown out of that.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the idea of, like, here's $10, you know, dye your hair blue and, you know, stab another kid with some scissors. Like, they'll do anything you ask them
here,
to.
I was going to get him a mohawk and dye his hair blue for his birthday, and then he told my entire family.
Oh, that's great. We're going to do, Cooper wants to dye his hair green this next coming summer. So we're all
totally
about that.
Do that. Does he have a? Does your brother have a Christmas pageant coming up?
I'm pretty sure he does.
Are they going to let him sing something?
You know that.
Come on,
hey Chris.
I totally could do that.
If it takes money for his Christmas pageant, we'll throw in a few bucks to the kid if he dyes his hair.
Totally.
That kid, yeah. Substitute teachers, regular teachers, it doesn't matter.
That's great.
Offer him $20, he'll say anything.
He's on the path. He's on the right path.
I've taught him well.
You have.
Rick, pleased to be playing Oh Holy Night every single hour, every day until Christmas. There you go. We should take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. You have film reviews?
I do. I've got a film review for Bobby.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? I want to talk about Joshua Jackson, the interview I did.
Okay.
We have the best commentary ever on our website right now as well.
Oh, I've heard some segments of that, by the way. I've heard some excerpts from that commentary.
Fantastic.
In fact, we can play some of those when we get back.
Oh, cool.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Daly is here from FilmFeverRadio.com. He's straight up back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Happy holidays, happy holidays. May the calendar keep ringing. Happy holidays to you.
Thinking of Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Andy Williams.
That's Andy Williams.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Had the fear of Ethel Kennedy.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will be doing some reviewing and so forth here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's play a visit to the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Kennedy.
Yeah. Really? After the death of Bobby.
Interesting.
All right. He was a very close family friend. So I met you in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, then. Here's Tim Riley.
Hi, sports fans. This Civil War is going on. Not the one in Iraq, but the one that they play on the football field here. And it looks like the Beavers are beating the opposing team, whoever they are, maybe the Anteaters or whatever their name is, 17-7.
That would be the Ducks.
The Ducks. The Beavers are beating the Ducks. It all sounds very childish, doesn't it?
Or sexual.
Beavers are beating Ducks. Well, what's happening in Compton, you ask? Well, beginning this weekend, Compton residents can exchange their guns for gifts, no questions asked, as part of the city-sponsored endeavor to reduce violence.
We should do a Gifts for Guns program.
Now, for every gun turned in, you get a $50 gift card to Circuit City, Ralph's Grocery Store, or Toys R Us. Last year, 400 guns were turned over to the Sheriff's Department, and they melted down in Rancho Cucamonga.
Is Rancho Cucamonga a real place?
Yes, it is a real place.
I thought it was one of those places that only existed in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
No, no, Rancho Cucamonga is a place.
Okay.
Compton has the highest homicide rate in Los Angeles County, a total of 67 in 2005. By mid-November, they had 65.
We had to do something where it's like, you can bring us your gift and we'll just give you a weapon of some kind. Just to make the city a little more interesting, a little more exciting. Oh, what about this? What if we got really horrible, loud, obnoxious noise-making toys and that's the thing we should do. We should offer to, if you're a child, we'll take your, like, your quiet, you know, intellectual toy for, and we'll give you something terrible with which to annoy your parents.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And a gun, yes. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk to jolly old St. Nick, who's out shopping today, shall we?
We have just a wonderful assortment of early Christmas shopping here, so by all means, everybody's out having a good time. Merry Christmas!
I'm going to die of emphysema! Oh, yeah.
Well, there's no ho-hoing out of these shoppers.
Well, I don't care for it a bit, because for me, it is not worth getting that early just to save a few bucks.
It's just too hard to get up at that hour anymore.
There's no way I'm getting up that early in the morning to come into this mess.
I think somebody needs a visit from the INS. That's what I think. You're not an American. That kind of sentiment will not stand in this country.
Perhaps people should hang on to those guns.
Maybe in whatever country you came from, it was acceptable to not buy things.
Too many mixed ethnicities, as Charlton Heston would say.
She needs to learn to consume like any other American.
Exactly. Surrender your will. Joni DeRoche, although she's emailed about me corrupting her child, she says, Rick, I remember the time you gave my child a $5 bill and told her to harass me relentlessly about smoking. I believe this is true. I believe your exact instructions were, make a really sad face and then say, Mommy, why do you want to die? I did. I gave her kid $5 to say that to her.
I might have to steal that idea.
She says, thanks a lot for that. P.S. Regarding the Bigger Than Jesus shirt, in the end, she was told she could wear it all she wanted, and her classmate, who was offended because the shirt was against God, was told to pound it. Fantastic. Good times. All right.
Well, there's nothing more I can add.
You really would need more moxie to get through the day, and that won't happen until Monday.
We're going to have Moxie Monday. It'll be Moxie Monday.
Excellent. Fantastic. And we'll have Scotty drink it and test it for us.
That'll be great.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, world's greatest newsman.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Tim Riley. No, thank you.
Hey, no, thank you.
Thank you, Dale Paxton. All right, we're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. I'm looking at the phone that's ringing, just knowing in a moment Scotty will answer it. There you go. Thank you. Let's see. Doug, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Mike Muller back.
Doug.
Yeah, hey.
Hi.
You didn't ask me what's up. I was going to say the bottom of my views, though. Anyway,
okay.
I got a good one for you.
Yeah.
The longest line of bras. Could be bras across the Hawthorne. Maybe you can even zigzag them. But not on a windy day, you know, you don't want to do that.
Rick, what's the on?
What? Oh,
I'm sorry.
You're going to hang up on me now.
No, right? I was having trouble hearing you. I had something playing. Go ahead.
Oh, well.
What was your idea?
Bras across.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm with a bunch of weird people right now.
What?
You are the word person.
I can't hear you. There's something, there's a little interference.
Yeah. That's because I'm with a bunch of weird people, and do you want to know what we're doing?
What?
I think we're losing the right now. I hear Lori laughing. She's in the background.
Okay.
Well, that was a good one, wasn't it?
They're having their own Emerson listening party.
Seriously, I don't even think he's aware that we're... Okay. I'm sorry, Doug. We're losing your call.
He's, like, giving commentary about on the air.
No, we're losing... Oh, Dan... Oh, no, it's too bad.
Oh.
No, sadly, we... No, I'm sorry, Doug. We lost your call. Thank you.
All right. That's a weird call.
Good God almighty. So you've actually got films to review this week.
I do.
All right. Well, what's up with that?
Well, the film that opens this week that I think is the most interesting is Bobby.
Oh, right.
Which, we saw a few weeks ago, and then we got to interview Joshua Jackson,
yes.
Who's one of the many stars of Bobby. And Bobby is really a film about, not necessarily about Robert Kennedy, but it's about the day, a day in the life of the Ambassador Hotel on the eve of the primary, not the eve of, the actual day of the primary elections in California, and the night that Bobby Kennedy was shot. Written and directed by Emilio Estevez, first of all, which I found a little strange.
The mark of quality.
Like, oh, Emilio Estevez. I met at work. Okay. But it has a great cast. It's got Sharon Stone, William H. Macy, Anthony Hopkins, Harry Belafonte, Lindsay Lohan, Elijah Wood, Christian Slater, Lawrence Fishburne, Joshua Jackson.
It really is like a junior Altman film in that way.
Speaking of Altman, yeah. Did you hear the news?
Yeah, dead.
I know. It sucks.
Welcome to last week.
That was yesterday, 2 days ago.
Was it? I don't think it was 2 days. I thought it was Friday.
It was Wednesday.
All right.
No, it was Wednesday.
Maybe it just seems like an eternity. Not unlike an Altman film itself.
Seems like a long,
rambling eternity. Going nowhere in particular.
Are you done?
No, I don't dislike Altman. Okay. I think that Altman had, but he had, I think Altman had like a 1-in-3 track record most of the time.
I agree.
That like for every player, there was like a prêt-à-porter that you had to wade through.
Yeah, I agree. But for the players, the shortcuts, the mashes out there, they were great.
The thing about Bobby is, without Bobby, without Altman, there would be no film like Bobby.
Right.
Or Crash.
Crash, which I hate to compare Crash to because...
Why do people hate that movie so much?
I don't hate the movie. It's just that Crash...
I thought Crash was a fantastic film.
Crash was a good film. It's just... This just because it has a large ensemble cast and there's a lot going on doesn't mean it's a Crash. And there's getting a lot of comparisons. And Joshua Jackson and I were talking about this in comparison to the film.
When we were in his hotel room, we were greasing each other up.
Anyway,
how
it's just
sprinkling him with essential oils and toweling him softly.
By the glow of candles.
As small Filipino children were rubbing his stomach. I'm sorry. Have I gone too far? Have I taken one step too many?
I think you've been on
there. Go ahead. What do you think of Bobby? Because I know how we feel about it here.
Right. Well, I liked Bobby. I thought it was really good because, one, it's amazing how it kind of mirrored today's America. And the thing I liked about the film, with all the characters in the film, there's a lot going on. It's not hard to keep track, but there's a lot to keep track of. I thought it really gave a great landscape of what America was like in 68. Granted, that wasn't there yet, but that's kind of the feel I got from it. The other night, on the 22nd, and I do this every year, the anniversary of JFK's assassination, I always watch Oliver Stone's JFK,
right.
Just to kind of, you know, get back into it a little bit. Again, it's very eerie how America 40 years ago is America today.
Totally.
And you really get that feeling in Bobby, or Stock of the Draft, you know, and just a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's very interesting.
I'll say that Lindsay Lohan, Tobey Maguire.
Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that gets them confused?
I'm the same way, Rick.
Okay.
And then throw Topher Grace in the mix.
Yeah, I...
And
okay.
The next Spider-Man, you got Topher Grace and Tobey Maguire in the same film. So.
That is like William Daniels, William Hurt, Jeff Daniels. I can never...
The Baldwins.
They have those similar eyes.
Yeah, it's like they're all the same height. I will say that Lindsay Lohan, Tobey Maguire... Elijah Wood thing. God damn it. That's a really... And as much as I was prepared to hate her and that subplot...
That subplot
I thought was really good, where... I'm not giving it away. Where she has to marry him to keep him out of the draft.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That was good. And as much as I typically dislike this device, there's a thing they did in Bobby, and I just... Joan, speaking of Joni DeRosa, I know she hates this in films, and I typically do, but it actually kind of worked for me. There's a sequence early on where a guy is, like, registering people to vote. And he's talking about, you know... There's some, you may not understand the new ballot we have. Let me explain how you use it. You take the stylus and you punch through your candidate, and you want to avoid any little bits of paper or what the scientists call hanging chads. And it's like a little like nod toward the... I actually found that kind of... that little touches like that pretty great because it does show that the... it was a, sort of a little foreshadowing of how the political system just continues to be sort of screwed up every 4 years by something.
Right.
Whether it's Sirhan Sirhan or whether it's, you know, counting in Florida or whatever. So there were a lot of things the film did right.
There is. And it was really... I thought it was well done. Emilio Estevez started writing the script in 2000. So it's taken him 6 years to write this, to get this film in production. Interesting to see what kind of film it would have been 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, pre-September 11th. Interesting to find out.
I think that the sum of this, the parts of this movie are better than its sum.
Mm.
There's a lot, I mean, like, well, Joshua Jackson's really good. Mm-hmm. Nick Cannon is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought...
wasn't a fan of the Demi Moore plot. She was not very good.
No.
Didn't dig the whole Ashton Kutcher bit either.
I thought William H. Macy was great.
She's outstanding. And Sharon Stone, I didn't
even recognize her.
And
Sarah recognized her right off.
Yeah, Sharon Stone?
I took me about till halfway through the movie. I'm like, Jesus God, it's Sharon Stone.
Which impressed me.
Boy, has Helen Hunt just aged exponentially, though?
Yes,
God,
yes.
She looks like she's been carved out of wood. I mean, it's just terrible. And then... I think they handle the stuff about Kennedy. Like, Kennedy, the one thing the film does really well, in my opinion, is that they, the whole time you're watching Bobby, you do get this sense of, like, a thing about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the arrival of Kennedy or the assassination of Kennedy,
right.
There is a sense of, like, impending happening.
Another thing I really liked about the film, and that, again, Mr. Joshua Jackson and I talked about, was you have a film like this that's about politics, it's about the 60s, Bobby Kennedy, a real historical fact, surround it with a bunch of fictional characters to kind of tell a day in the life of America. But you get actresses like Lindsay Lohan and Elijah Wood and Ashton Kutcher and Joshua Jackson, Nick Cannon, you know. I think that's going to attract a younger crowd.
Totally.
Which I think is a really good thing because it's an important film. It's not a film that's boring. And boy, I tell you, during the assassination and the after assassination in the film, they play a speech that Bobby Kennedy gave
a week
or so after Martin Luther King.
That he ad-libbed. That it was an ad-lib speech.
Just the most, and interesting enough, we saw it on Election Day, which is interesting too. But just the most uplifting and inspiring speech I've ever heard in my life. It made me want to go back and research Kennedy all much more.
And
it really makes you think about what would have happened if Sirhan Sirhan hadn't walked into that hotel room.
Well, you'd Tim,
no,
you know,
we'd have no Watergate.
And Tim's from New England, I mean, you know, or the Kennedys are just like deities back there. Still, I mean, they're just still they're such a huge force in America. And I don't buy into a lot of the sort of Kennedy iconography, but I will say that there's a great thing that I mean, and I've seen that speech he gave at the ambassador like a billion times, and it always has stuck with me. That the very last public gesture he did before he got shot to death was a peace symbol.
Yeah.
Because he does that great where he says, and now it's on to Chicago and let's win there. And then he does the peace symbol. And then it's like 10 seconds later dead. Which is, you know, it's just weird and sad and creepy and great.
I thought another good thing that Bobby did was show the effect the assassination had on other people.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in a crowded kitchen and there were many other people shot.
I didn't really even know. I had no idea either. So
it was really well done. And the interview we had with Joshua Jackson is on this week's episode of Film Fever Radio.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. I'll play us out here.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what else is at filmfeverradio.com.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio.
It's hard to be a Jew on Christmas.
right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3. Don't forget the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 11. Are you on Fuel tomorrow?
I will be on Fuel
tomorrow. Now, what about Aaron's at the Coast, though?
Yeah, Aaron's at the Coast. When Dennis was in last week, he invited us. I said, yes, we'll do it, and I forgot Aaron's at the Coast.
Does he know Aaron's not coming in?
Yeah, he does. Okay. Yeah, we talked this morning. And I was going to try to postpone it, but I know he's been pipping it all week long, so yeah. I'm going to go on. Well, Aaron and I will come back on.
And who can miss the opportunity to be in this tiny room with five big sweaty guys?
I know. Yeah, so when I talked to Dennis today, I was like, dude, are you in the same studio that Rick is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay.
Have fun with that.
So, yeah, I'll be at about 9:30 on the Fuel Show tomorrow.
Fuel Show 9 to 11.
Movie cars. Excellent. TV cars.
It's a cool show. Great. Matt, our good friend, yeah. Matt Peterson, Dennis Pitzenberger, Ian Gordon.
It'll be good to see Matt and Ian again. I haven't seen them in a while.
All right, so this, you guys recorded, you this every month, a drunken commentary,
once a month? Yep, once a month.
And so I have totally called dibs on the Die Hard
week. Yeah, we're doing that.
Best holiday
weeks.
Movie ever.
Okay, we'll nail down a date.
What was the drunken, so is this up now, your Wrath of Khan drunken commentary?
The last weekend we got together, recorded our third drunken commentary for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Okay. And it is up right now, available. In five parts. If we did it in one part, it'd be two.
So what is the deal? You people download it and then they listen to it on the iPod or whatever while they're watching the movie?
That's exactly right.
Excellent.
Just like you would a regular commentary.
I got a couple of these here. This
great.
Is this you drunkenly calling Sarah?
Yes. Yes. All right. I've gotten carte blanche from Sarah. One day she said, Scott, whenever you're drunk, you want to do a drunk call, call me.
All right.
Done.
This is you guys calling Sarah Dillon while drunk at the con commentary.
During the commentary.
Sarah Dillon. It is a drunk call with Scott Daly. Yeah! Yeah! That's the flip, isn't it? We're going to have our drunken commentary, Sarah Dillon. Give me the phone. All right. Here's someone who wants to talk to you, Sarah Dillon. How's it going, Sugar? The Jews are responsible for the Wrath of Khan. They started it all. The Jews are the reason why Sulu's gay. I'm going to hand the phone off to Clyde.
Woo! I knew it!
Clyde's on rum and Percocet. You talk to me.
Yeah. I'm going to rock your world.
On drugs!
I'm drunk and I'm everything else. But hey,
no, keep
going.
No, it's
fine. I have no idea that we're going to call you, and so I can't even do my low voice here.
Fantastic.
He later on would have talked to her as Michael Jackson. It was creepy and great all the same time. Aaron made homemade Romulan ale.
Yeah, he had some of that here yesterday.
Woo!
Yeah, man. Kristen tried some of that.
Yeah.
All I could say was, ugh.
All right. We went through a whole bottle, and man, it was hard, but
here's
it was good.
Another section of the Star Trek Wrath of Khan drunken commentary.
Excellent.
When the Enterprise came to the neutral zone, and I had to go. The Enterprise came
all right.
to the neutral
and
zone.
Finally, let's see, this is...
This is what people want us to do. It's just this.
Yeah. Is this leading up to the con?
Yes, all right. Sir.
I gotta relax this part.
Just try not to go too
long. I no longer need to try.
Nerds.
And man, they can't take it in.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Come. I've done far worse than kill you.
I didn't mean.
No.
I hurt you.
And I wish to go on having you. I shall leave you as you left me. Let her roam for all eternity, the center of a dead planet. Buried alive.
Wait for it.
There it is. Here comes.
Oh, it's gold.
The best part.
And you're all married. It's just insane.
The best part about the evening was at the end when Spock dies.
Yeah.
We were all weeping like a bunch of little girls.
Oh, yeah.
Silence.
Just crying
Jason
like babies.
Jason Crumb from Vantage Point Photography had his hood over his face, and we were all sitting there, and Diana from downtown is sitting on Aaron's lap, and it's just so sad. It's just, we were all weeping like little girls. It was the best.
Oh, God.
So, good time.
Fantastic.
Good time. So, yeah, go to filmfever.com, filmfeverradio.com. You can download the commentary and watch it this weekend. Go to geekinthecity.com for Aaron's Romulan Ale recipe. And you, too, can drunkenly yell at Captain Kirk and laugh like Sulu.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, did you guys hear that Mr. Sulu is actually going to be a guest spot on Heroes?
On what?
Channel 8. The Heroes.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't watch that show.
You need to be watching.
I know. That's what everybody says. I know. I guess, there's not enough. Stop it. You have to.
Don't call me Sulu.
Don't call me.
Sulu was the best. Best thing about that night.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, of course. Open back. I know I didn't get to the...
Top 5 screen.
Yes. Con should be there, just for playing the con scream. All right, yeah, I didn't get to that.
You got everything else. Put you right back where we started. We end the week with 60.
God damn it. I was at like 30. Just,
2 weeks ago, you were at 36.
All right. Yeah, I know. Well, what can you do?
It's almost double.
Is the post office open regular hours today?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
We got our mail.
I got to go mail some crap. Because Thanksgiving is also... Yesterday was my wife's birthday.
You have to go to the post office to mail?
I do. I have to mail. Well, it's not
Rick,
that...
There's a thing called the internet.
I'm not...
You can print
stop.
Off your own...
No. I got to go to the post... Because I don't know how much anything weighs or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
No, she bought a Motorola Q. It really wasn't... Her birthday really didn't have anything to do with it. She bought her own Motorola Q off the internet. One of the series of tubes on the interweb. But it came the day after she left for Utah, and she like can't wait. She's like, I gotta have my cue. So I gotta
come back.
Like not for 10 days. And
oh,
so I gotta send. So I got is I gotta send it to her. So we can have matching PDAs and smartphones.
Will she text you when she gets it?
Yeah, it's all right. Well, no, that's the thing is she's become really because I've got the full QWERTY keyboard on my Motorola Q,
right.
And she's all jealous of the fact that when she texts me and she has to do like you know that thing where you press the button 5 times to get A or whatever, and I can just be all you know like texting like a fiend on my phone. So this is the dumbest conversation.
Rick, I have the strongest faith in my brothers and sisters of the Postal Service, but just please insure it.
Really?
Yes.
I always thought insurance was a scam.
No. If it goes up, then you wasted the money. But
okay,
if something happens to it and it's damaged or whatever, you've got insurance on it. Plus, if you do the numbered insurance, you can check to make sure it's been received.
Well, that is true, because I got it real quickly, because I did, and this is the godless British, though. This isn't us. I bought a Glengarry Glen Ross poster for my new office from overseas. I didn't want to tell you how much I paid for it. It was a staggering amount of money. Insurance for $1, me. No! And then it got the tube that they sent literally bent in half somewhere in Britain. So that was a nice, like $55
hey,
down the
Chris,
drain.
When you insure something, does it say insured on the label? So does the postal carrier know?
So they can
insured?
Kick it down the street.
There's two types of insurance. There's one something called numbered insurance and something called non-numbered insurance. Numbered insurance actually has a label. We have to scan it. They have to sign for it.
Okay. So if it's not insured, you just
get a record that it's been received. You can look online and say, yep, they signed for it at such and such a time.
Oh, I can track it then.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do that today. Thank you for your advice. I will do that then.
It's worth the extra cost.
All right, brother. Enjoy your weekend, and we will speak to you, I guess, at like 3 o'clock or something on Monday.
3 o'clock on Monday. And, wait, Scott?
Yeah.
Come back and visit with your opinions when your little one is 12.
When what?
When you're what?
When
you're when your son is 12. Yeah, hide the X-Acto knives. Thank you, sir. Mailman Chris. Filmfeverradio.com, and you'll hear him on the Fuel Show tomorrow
at 9:30
or so. Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 12. Tim Nasium tomorrow, 4 to 6. Kristen Bowie, thank you so much for filling in for Sarah Dillon these last few days. Fantastic. Well done. Blah, 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 blah. Bastards grinding. Like us. Yada, yada. Weekend. Yeah. We'll see you Monday. Thank you. Bye.